Blog Talk Radio.
I want. I want to read three quotes by the of the ISIS Manifesto before I cut to a video. If you can kill a disbelieving American or European, especially the spiteful and filthy French or an Australian or a Canadian or any other disbeliever, including the citizens of countries that entered into a coalition against the Islamic State, then rely upon Allah and kill him in any manner or way, however it may be. So this is a quote from an Islamic training video. And this ISIS spokesman has posted a call to arms for Muslims around the world to kill Americans, Canadians, and European citizens for their government's role in a coalition against ISIS. But what the average American is unaware of are the ISIS' more shocking Islamic injunctions that permit Muslims everywhere to carry out killings by ordering them to cause as many as 10 million American casualties, which was included in training videos that circulate on social media for use by the Muslim community under the nose of the FBI, which they refuse to do anything about. Now, I'll read three quotes, and then I'm going to read something by an American source on Time magazine about American-style killings by white terrorists. You will not be safe in your own bedrooms, says the video, while you sleep. Your crusader campaign will fail. You will pay the price, and we will hit you on your home front in a way that will cripple you to never extend your long arm ever again. Peace, mercy, and blessings of God. It is no secret what was published in the media about the intention to hit America with weapons of mass destruction. So what is the fatwa ruling in the Mujahideen to use these? It is permissible at all? Is this the mother of necessity? This issue needs a complete message and gathering from evidence and scholarly sources to question regarding the house of war and how to practice jihad udafi, which means repulse jihad and the meaning of destruction of crops, including reproduction of life, which are children, religiously and so on, which I will collect what was given by Allah's will. By the way, I view this as complete BS, in case you're wondering. In what Islam calls repulse jihad, which is basically using weapons of mass destruction, which was known in Islamic warfare to put a complete stop and end of the enemy once and for all, ISIS then gives the response. And I might add that no enemy will be erased on both sides completely. If the infidels cannot be repulsed from the Muslims except by resorting to such weapons, then it be used even if it killed and wiped them out completely, including decimating their crops and their descendants. I will include details in my letters I mentioned. Therefore, the question is asked and the answer is given and the matter is closed and concluded. Now I'm going to read another statistic. Time magazine says radical, this is before a lot of the killings this year in France, San Bernardino, and Orlando. Radical Islamics were also indicted more frequently than non-Muslim extremists and served longer sentences. Since 9/11, right-wing terrorists have killed more, almost twice as many Americans in homegrown attacks than radical Islam, according to the research by the New America Foundation. In their June study, the foundation decided to examine groups engaged in violent extreme activity and found that white extremists were by far the most dangerous. They pointed to the recent killings at the Emmanuel AME Church, the shooting in South Carolina, and the 2012 attack on a Sikh temple in Wisconsin, as well as many lesser-known attacks on Jewish institutions and on police. They found that 48 people were killed by white terrorists, while 26 were killed by radical Islamists since September 11th. Now, keep in mind, this is June of 2015. The study also found that the criminal justice system judged jihadists more harshly than their own non-Muslim counterparts, indicating them more frequently than non-jihadists and handing them down longer sentences. So with that, Don and John have not called in yet. I'm going to play a video for you by Youssef Estes that tackles the Kill All the Infidels propaganda, which is initiated from direct quotes from the Quran.
Yo, baby. Let me read it to you from the Quran and let you be the judge. I'm looking in Surah Al-Ma'idah. This is a very important surah. Of course, all of them are important. Dealing with the subjects of what is halal, what is haram, what's permissible, what's forbidden. Dealing with the establishment or reestablishment of the original Sharia or the Islamic law, which came from the very beginning. It's the same God, it's the same law, the commandments of Almighty God. And he's just clarifying, and Allah says in chapter 5, verse 32. And this is right after the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel is mentioned in here, Habil and Qabil, and what they did and how it came about. But now it says, because of what Allah has ordained for the children of Israel, that if anybody killed a person without cause, meaning in other words, not in retaliation or anything like that, or if they did it to spread mischief in the land, it would be as if he killed all of mankind, and if anybody saves a life, it's as if he saved the life of all mankind. And indeed, there came to them Allah's messengers with clear proofs, evidences, and signs. Even then, after that, many of them continued to transgress the limits in the land. The recompense for those, I'm in the next verse, the recompense for those who wage war against Allah and his messenger and do mischief in the land is only that they shall be killed or crucified, or their hands or their feet be cut off on opposite sides, or be exiled from the land. That is their disgrace in this world, and a great torment is theirs in the hereafter. But it very clearly is saying why. Because when people are killing other people, you have to stop them. There's a reference for this one that you didn't give me that one. Thank you for not getting any harder. I mean, you did. But there's one that has been sent to me after a speech, and I read it, and it said, why does your book say you have to kill all the Jews and Christians? So what they said. You didn't give me that one, but I will connect it with what we're talking about here. Email and internet is where you find this over and over. Muslims have to kill all the Jews and Christians. This is a very twisted mind from somebody trying to twist the scripture of Allah's words. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Quran. Nowhere. In fact, it teaches us how to live side by side in a very beautiful way. But yet at the same time to defend ourselves and to defend Islam. What they misquote is the verse in Surah Al-Baqarah 191, it says, and kill them wherever you find them. And then in parentheses, they say the Jews and Christians. That's what they say. I happen to know a little bit of Arabic. I don't pronounce it very good. I get stuck sometimes. But I'll tell you what, I got a dictionary. It helps me. And it doesn't say that. You have to go to the verse before it. It also starts out with the word and. Both of them start with and, so that means what? You still don't have the whole thought. When anybody walks up to you or you walk in on a conversation and the guy says and, you missed something, yes or no? Okay, so let's go to the verse before that. Yasalunaka, they ask you, O Muhammad, about the new moons. Moons. Say, these are signs to mark fixed periods of time for mankind and for Hajj.
I'm going to pull John in. I was playing a video by a man named Yusuf Estes on YouTube who was trying to explain certain principles in the Quran. Don, it's just you and me tonight. Don, I was going to cancel the show tonight, and Don said he wanted to do one, and now he's not here.
Well, that's okay. You know, he probably had something come up.
Yeah, did you I felt bad last night because once John Fitzgerald Johnson called in, he pretty much monopolized our entire conversation. So,
well, he's trying to run for president across the country, so I think we should give him a little slack because, I mean, he basically, you're trying to reach, 300 million people or whatever, and he's calling in on a show that may not reach, you know, that many people. So I think it was okay.
Okay, well, it is kind of a religious topic tonight. I'll just play one more clip. Were you hearing it okay from your end?
Actually, I was hearing it very clear. It's one of the better takes that you have been listing. Yeah.
Okay, I'll play a couple more minutes. It's a religious theme, and I'll describe it once I get back on the air.
Hajj, the pilgrimage. And it is not al-bir that you enter the houses from the back door, but al-bir is the one who has taqwa, or fear of Allah. Enter your houses through proper doors and fear Allah that you will be successful and fight in the way of Allah those who fight you, but do not transgress the limits. What was that talking about? Because he used the word in Arabic, وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. I'll stop there. What does that mean? The word in Arabic is a combat. It means to engage in combat and fight even to the death. That's what it's talking about. What is the connection between that and Hajj? Do you know? Because it was when they were going out that this verse comes. And now they've given the permission. Because for 13 years, the Muslims were not allowed to retaliate, even though they were being abused, battered, insulted, and even killed. The women were, I don't want to say, but mutilated, and they did many things to them. And the first martyr in Islam was Sumaya, and she was killed in a horrible way. But they were not allowed to retaliate. You do not have to teach Arabs how to fight. Arabs are born with a rock in their hand.
I guess I'll stop it there. The theme tonight is ISIS, homegrown terrorism, and ordinary killers. What do they have in common? And the underlying theme is that nobody really has the answers. The world is in chaos. But I don't believe every Christian, Jew, or Muslim necessarily wants to kill or confront people of different religions. What's your take on that?
I think some people are violently prone and other people are peaceful. I think there's different temperaments within any structure. Or in other words, some people genetically, they're killers or they like to kill or there's something, a trigger button in them that will go off, Christian or Muslim or Jewish or Catholic. I think, however, the certain faiths avail themselves to certain behaviors. And some, like, in other words, if you're a Buddhist, you probably are seeking a more peaceful meditative path. And if you're Muslim, you're probably, if you get radically into the faith, you're going to seek a more physically aggressive approach to dealing with other people.
I agree. I wanted to bring up, we're talking about Muslim style or Muslim driven killings for the sake of their perceived enemy, which I thought was rather juvenile in one article I read. read that they just want to kill people who is against the ISIS coalition. Like, who wouldn't be? They're going through countries killing people. Why would they think that there would be no resistance? But then there was a younger student in Bemidji, Minnesota on March 22, 2005 that killed around 15 people. And I'll just read a couple. It was an Indian reservation school he did it at. Do you remember that?
I heard a little bit about it, and, you know, there's so many of these things going on, it's hard to keep track of which one. You know, it used to be that you'd have see one kind of a killing every 4 or 5 years or once a year. Now it's like every other week. It's crazy, isn't it? I think.
I know. Just this last week, I see Don on the line, by the way. He didn't pick up twice when I called, but Don, I'll bring you in a minute. Did you know this week a 14-year-old boy in South Carolina shot his father and then went to an elementary playground and shot at other people, but two or three were only mildly injured, but another boy, he hit the artery in his leg, and the kid got brain damage from loss of blood, and then he died yesterday.
Well, there's also a reluctance by not only our administration, but by politicians to not label certain activities as terrorist or as religious motivated. So that also muddies the water, too, because everyone's afraid to say that. They're afraid that they're going to anger or maybe encourage more terrorism. I think people who are terrorists, it doesn't really matter. They're going to do what they're going to do no matter what. Or in other words, you could be as nice as you want. A bully is still going to be a bully. I've worked with people that the nicer I am, the meaner they get. It's almost like they get off on it. It's a behavior cycle. I've seen it not only with me but interacting with other people. It's just like, why are you getting off on people that are being nice to you and not replying or not, you know, fighting back? It's a power display. But it's kind of funny because in my case, it doesn't really bother me. I don't really care. It's kind of like a prostitute, except I'm not doing anything immoral. But basically, you're going to screw me, and I'm getting paid for it. So do what you're going to do. No problem, you know, but I understand the mindset of a person in those professions. It's like, you're just going to get abused. And so I just close my eyes and do my job, and that's okay. I get my paycheck and it's okay. So I think,
but there are a lot of people in the entertainment business, which you work for an entertainer, that are like that, but somewhere along the line, she didn't get what she wanted in life. And she's punishing other people around her because of that.
I think that's a good point. And I think what backs up these kind of people, and I've done this, you know, if I retaliate head on and have conflict and have back-and-forth conversation, actually, I usually end the conversation getting more back, you know, getting either, more money or more time off or better treatment. But the problem is, I'm in a situation I don't want to agitate at this time. I don't want to spend 2 or 3 hours of arguing and debate and threats and, you know, call the police and restraining order and all this kind of madness. To me, it's just not that big of a deal. But it is a strange dynamic that some people need conflict. They just need that tension to maybe to feel alive, or maybe to feel better about themselves. They don't have power in their life, so they're seeking it wherever they can unload on someone. In this case, the people that work for them, that they pay. So,
find it justified to attack people based on their position in the world and their religious values. And I will mention this week that Lauren's sister, the verdict came in, and the man who killed her was found guilty, and he has prison for life. So he will spend the rest of his life in prison for killing her, Lauren's sister. He shot her in cold blood. I can read the article if you want. Here's John Gallimore, our latent suspect.
Bring him in.
Hi, Mr. Gallimore, who wanted to do a show tonight but apparently fell asleep.
Thank Pat for waking me up at 10:09, and then I had to make sure I put my phone in to charge it, and it's now it was about 10:13 when I called. So yes,
it's okay. I was going to actually cancel the show, but the topic tonight is ISIS, homegrown terrorism, and ordinary killers. What do they have in common?
Easy. Nothing and everything.
Okay.
Homegrown killers are made. Homegrown ISIS or just homegrown.
I'm not talking about like the Orlando or San Fernando. I'm talking more about the Dylan Claybods of the world.
No, that killing thing that they've got in common. Recessive gene, just like everything has a recessive gene, and there's also that violent tendency recessive gene that a lot of people have in their frontal cortex takes that part of their brain where they.
Well, let me ask you
out.
And John this, because John was on a roll. Do you think, how much do you guys think killing is perpetuated by your human makeup versus cultural conditions? Like, we're not in mass mayhem yet. There might be people doing drugs and stuff, but the whole world isn't rebelling in America yet with guns and weapons. A lot
sure
of police
it is.
Are,
sure it
perhaps.
Is. Sure it is. No. No, James.
Okay, well,
Holmes, why,
I want to hear your opinion, then I want to hear John's opinion.
That's fine. I'm just saying Jade Helm shows that the guns are here and the government's getting ready to take them at some point. Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say, here's a question, and that is in contrasting styles, we have a president who I think is a very socially aware person. I think he's very compassionate. He's got some kind, he's got some good characteristics. He's kind of like a social worker, everyone's buddy. And yet we have, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like I haven't seen such violent times since the 60s. You know, we had civil unrest and riots and things like that. But between now and then, it just seemed like in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, you'd have these occasional little bursts of, you know, a little riot here, a little social unrest. But just seems like this, especially this last year and a half, every other week or every other day, it's like some kind of riot, some kind of terrorist thing that they don't call terrorists, but it's a radical extremist killing people or attacking people. And it just seems like the nice guy approach isn't working. You know, it's like
yeah,
someone
think,
needs
I
to
I think you're
that.
Right, too, because, like, people like Black Lives Matter are more organized. And as John Fitzgerald Johnson was explaining, like, he went down to Charlotte not just to protest, but also to subdue the crowd from doing unhinged protests. He said that they had to have a plan, an agenda, and a purpose. And he helped, you know, control that into a systemic protest,
like
something like with demands, not just to raise holy hell.
Yeah, it just seems
right?
like, I don't know, we need a little more, you know, call it a law and order approach or a strong arm approach or something. It just seems like people aren't listening to polite conversation. And into, you know, downplaying things. And now my style is to be calm and cool and quiet. And I'm just saying that at my job, the more I do that, the more abusive, violent kind of verbal attacks I get. And the only time I get relief is when I stand up and just I beat them down. I basically like, hey, I quit or I walk or just shut. Like I've done this to my boss. I said, just shut up. Shut your mouth. And I go, no, 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 no. Like, you know what? Guess what? Goodbye. See you later. I'm done. And like, wait a second. Oh, let's talk. Oh, we need to, you know, it's like, why does it need to get to that level? I'm trying to talk nicely and negotiate, but they don't want to hear that. So when you're dealing with terrorist people or rioting people, I don't know if the nice guy approach is really going to be effective long term.
Well, like I was going to mention, and I'll let Don go next to him, this Bemidji, I'm just going to read two paragraphs of this article from March of 2005. So his name was Jeff Weiss. He was 17 years old, and he lived on a reservation. And he had problems because I believe one of his parents died and another one was deathly ill. So he was living with a couple other relatives. So it says, this suspect at this point in history, which was 05, it was a school shooting, and it was the worst since Columbine. He smiled and waved as he gunned down five students, a teacher, and a security guard, asking one of his victims whether he believed in God, witnesses said. The teen's grandfather and his grandfather's girlfriend also were found dead, and then the boy eventually killed himself that day. Some of the victims were shot at close range. The death toll at Red Lake High School in northern Minnesota made it the nation's worst school shooting since the Columbine Rampage in April 1999. Okay, so the gunman apparently shot and killed his grandfather and his grandfather's girlfriend at their home and then traveled to the school in the grandfather's squad car. The grandfather was a tribal police officer at the Red Lake Indian Reservation. The shotgun and the handgun he used are believed to have been his grandfather's. I wanted to jump down to the point where there was no immediate indication of his motive, but several students said he had antisocial beliefs and he may have posted messages on a neo-Nazi website expressing admiration for Hitler. A writer who identifies himself as Jeff Weiss, the same guy who killed people, nicknamed himself Todesengel, a German word for the angel of death. An April 2004 posting by him referred to him being accused as a threat on the school I attend, though the writer later said he was cleared. Relatives told the St. Paul Press that Weiss was a loner who usually wore black and was teased by other kids. Relatives told the newspaper his father committed suicide 4 years earlier and that his mother was living in a Minneapolis nursing home because she suffered from brain injuries in a car accident. So I'll stop right there. So basically, he was antisocial, he had a tough life, and then he killed his grandfather, basically. I think all of that stems from lack of love and not enough nurturing. And even if he had a nice grandfather, something went wrong in his life.
Well, I guess the question is, how would you screen out that person? Because it seems like if out of 100 people, you're going to have, you know, 20 or 30 of them where their granddad died, their mom died, they don't know their father, they've had trauma, you know, maybe they've had an abusive relationship with their parents or relative, maybe they've been molested, you know, sexual abuse. And when you start sitting down and thinking about it, I think all of us have had some level of some dysfunction, something bad. Some of it worse than others. Some of us have had, you know, a nice family upbringing, but usually there's a closet somewhere. So the question is, do we give free passes? Do we excuse behavior? Do we judge things harshly? Do we, you know, basically people commit a crime and we just hit them up for it, you know?
What happens is, like, uh-huh. Someone like him, he already had so many emotional problems. And then on top of that, he started surfing websites that, you know, had fundamental killing objectives, such as neo-Nazis. And then he probably was a loner who was picked on, so he wasn't nurtured, and he didn't he didn't have positive reinforcement in his life, and he just kind of went off the deep end farther and farther and farther.
Well, I have a theory, and that is out of a million people, you're going to have a handful of people that are just they're loose wires, or for whatever reason that filter. Because I think we all have bad thoughts. I think we all have bad impulses. You know, I call it level four killers. You know, level one is like you think about it for just one moment. You know, someone abuses you and think, I wish I had a bat and I just knock them over the head. But it's just like a rant. You know, it's a stupid thought. But the level two is like, I could buy an aluminum bat at Sporting Goods and they only cost $25 or $20 or something like that. But level three is like, I went down to Sporting Goods and I bought the bat. But level four is, I've got the bat and I'm waiting around the corner because I know what time they get off of work. And I guess you'd call it level five. Level five is, I actually swung the bat. Each one of those are different levels, you know, and different consequences. And until you swing that bat and hit the head, you're basically probably not going to be guilty of any crime unless you paid someone to do a hit. You know, if that would be a case where you didn't do the act, someone else did, but yet you're still liable for prison time. But the point of what I'm saying is that I think we all have these impulses. So it's just common to human life, some worse than others. Some people it's sexual abuse. Some people it's just lying or stealing. Some people it's committing adultery. Some people have a combination. But I think the problem is we have how many million people? 300 million, 330, 280 million, whatever it is. You're going to have a lot of people running around with loose wires. And I think when you have a spiritual disconnect, like, we're not connected in church. We're not connected to spiritual principles. There's a lot of atheism going around, a lot of drug use, you know, even if it's marijuana, but just certain drugs are more available. I think you're going to see more loose cannons. In other words, I think out of a million people, most of us, you could expose us to violent movies and pornography or whatever, and we're going to be cool. But I still think there's a handful of people, you expose them to these things and you give them a little bit of chemical abuse and they're loose cannons. They're just going to go off on society. That's my view. How about you, Mr. Gallimore?
I think his between his honeymoon and his door knocking, he fell off.
No, huh? That was well done, John.
It's probably a long rant too, so I probably went a little over the attention span. It's easy to zone out for a second. And go, what was he talking about?
Before he gets into that, John, I don't think that nowadays people get all their fulfillment directly from the immediate community. A lot of people go. I was even watching a special on Vietnam tonight, where a lot of kids are on the internet. I mean, it's more of a global context at this time.
Wrong.
Go ahead, Don.
First of all, that assessment is incorrect. People are becoming more introverted. People are moving into themselves. They're starting to get a sense of what their insides are, because your internal inner works have every element in the universe. We each have every minute, and I've mentioned this before. So for the most part, people have a long way to explore, and that's one of the next places, or one of the continued places, is the inner workings of yourself. I think that people are starting to get less social. They're not going out as much as they used to. The restaurants are proving that. They're falling by the wayside left and right if they're not a chain. But that's because people are becoming more cognizant of their eating habits, their exercise habits, their sleep patterns. So these are what you just mentioned, I believe, looking at the propensity of people, is that they're not getting going out more and doing more stuff that are social conscious minded.
And they're not going to stores like Macy's or Robinson's or stuff like that. They're going online and ordering stuff. They're more into video game. They're more into or another thing too is Facebook. I mean, let's face it. It's like I try to, because I'm trying to be socially relevant, right, with music and with connecting with people. So I've tried at various times, like, I'm just going to go for 5 minutes. I'm going to scroll down, and the first five things or, first 10 people I encounter, I'm going to just do a quick reply. You catch one thing that's really interesting, and it's a three-minute video. And then you hook onto a link, and then it's, another 5 minutes, and you want to replay. And pretty soon, you're out an hour, and I don't have the time. It's like people – I know people that are posting stuff on, they've got like 10 things they've posted a day, and I'm sure they spend 2 or 3 hours or more just editing and looking through stuff. I could be wrong, but they live for this stuff. Different era.
I've noticed lately I've only wanted to spend maybe 2 hours a day at the max. I just get burned out and I go to the same 4 or 5 websites. And I know Don doesn't hardly spend any time on it.
Never. I'm on a flip phone right now, and I would never generate that much radiation into my body, into my organs, as continual use of a smartphone. With, the thing is that it's on even when it's off. So, I've mentioned, women, I can only just sit back and look at them die, because cancers come in many, many forms. A small part is genetic, and a gross part is man-made environmental. Where we are talking about our nutrition, our eating habits, living near electrical grids or continuous petroleum emitting areas, radiation, those three, natural and man-made, and we've got toxins that come out, methanol and from garbage heaps and cows and farms, and we're just a killing machine when you add in petroleum for cars and buses and all their uses, and plastics that don't degenerate for thousands of years in essence. So we're just killing ourselves, and I'm just sitting back on the top of my hillside, looking over the city, and just wondering how soon these people are going to die. But one thing that John said, that when he mentioned about the terrorists and the scares and the riots, it sounds just like the Muslims. But I know he was talking about white people. Because I know that more minorities are scared of white people than they are of Muslims. And that's a fact. There are more people, more minorities, who would rather not deal with the white man. He already knows that he is a lynching machine. Parties and picnics while people are hanged and shot and dragged across the ground. Until they're dead.
I haven't been invited to any of those parties, so I want to know where they're doing this stuff.
That's because you would be the guest.
The guest.
You would be the feature.
Have you ever done like an adopt a white person, a white man, club or day? Like have a day you just adopt a white family for and.
Perfect.
Give them love.
The NAACP does it all the time. We adopt white poor white people and say, okay, maybe, just maybe you can make a name for yourself by joining us. And some of them are fantastic. They pass the test and make the grade. And then there are those. Then there are a majority of white people who are probably Trump followers, but I can't say for certain. Who
no,
are
well,
just,
if you had an invitation,
deplorable. They're kind of deplorable.
If you had an invitation to visit like Trump's place, hang out in his penthouse for a day, and go traveling around with him, would you feel safe, or would you feel like something bad would happen to you?
Something bad would happen to me. He'd bring out his Nazi SS soldiers, and they would, while I was sleeping, they would attempt to gas me, or take me to a caged place for an inordinately long amount of time. So I would be definitely afraid of staying there after dark. Now, during dark, I know that I'd have my video cameras rolling so that anything that happened would be video would be taped, and I'd be exonerated of anything that I would be, as a victim, I would be charged with. Because, of course, all the victims are charged with some crime, me being a minority. They're charged with being a minority if they're a victim of, like, police shootings and things like that. The police are never, you know, 35 years it took before Chicago brought its first police officer in front of the grand jury. That city, if you've ever been to Chicago, that city police kill everybody all the time.
They've had a lot of violence this year. You would need a camera with infrared filters, not infrared, maybe.
Exactly. No. Infrared would be Indian. But infrared would be all the whites that are lurking out with the prostitutes, and they're the drug addicts, and they're rolling around gambling parlors. They're stealing from the big stores with truckloads of cigarettes and furniture. The whites are just really, they're the crime wave. They're the proponents of the crime waves. And these individual incidences that are being broadcast are just that, individual incidences. And we don't see the mass corruption, the mass theft, the mass killings, the mass racism that the white the whites perpetrate. Right now we've got a case, where bus drivers, telling the black kids to go to the back of the bus here in Reno. And then we've got Antioch, California, where it's in a halfway decent neighborhood, upper middle class, that they painted the house with swastikas. Now, there was no minority who painted a house with swastikas. I've been in every situation you can imagine. And when you see the blur, the blackout of the white man's eyes when he's angry and the prejudice comes out, there is no other anger in the world. The evil that you see that they can't help is unfathomable, and it's just unpalpable. It can't be replicated anywhere that's not ungodly. And you guys have never seen it. I've seen it in many, many instances. And there's nothing you can do, nothing you can say. The evil in the white man is complete and utter hate towards minority.
I've hung out with and worked for some white employers, and I going to church is usually a lot of white people. I have to say, I haven't really lived in fear of any of them. I have lived in fear of minorities when I'm, you know, out in the street at 2 o'clock riding my bike. I did get shook down by a cop, a white cop this week. You know, shakedown number 150. But once again, I was very calm. I showed him my hands. I reassured him where I was getting my ID. You know, cause I look like I'm homeless. I got a backpack and two bags in my hands and I'm riding a bike at 2 a.m. So it looks like I'm running drugs or doing a deal. And I just talked to him. I thanked him for his work. We had a great conversation. I left safe, but before I did pass him, I went by, Venice and there were two people out there and one of them did the typical, hey, brother, come over here. I get that about every night. And I pedal faster. When I see people, I actually move more into the center of the road and I get into next gear, you know, and kind of going at a velocity that they can't run out and grab me. So I don't know. I've just had a different experience, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's because you look like a homeless person. You look like you belong in the homeless hood. If you were a noticeably 100% Hispanic or any other minority, you would not necessarily get that kind of notoriety or attention on both sides, because there would be no discernment. There would be absolute discernment of who you were. You're riding a bike at 2 a.m. means, and you looking like you do, you look like a mark. You look like a punk. And so people are absolutely going to do that only because you look white. You're a non-threatening, you know, unless except for the possible concealed weapon. You know, but the bottom line is that that's not not gonna deter a person who has nothing, and anything, including a bullet in the heart, is better than what they've got.
Yeah, now, do you fear white women? Because it seems like more white women are hooking up with brothers lately. I mean, everywhere I go, there's a, you know, it's kind of like an accessory: black man, white woman.
The reason is because the white woman, one, wants love. The white woman cannot get love from a loveless man, which is the white man. So she needs love. The second thing, oh, no, it's the truth. Anybody will tell you. But
mention something after you guys get off of this topic. Go ahead.
Of course. The other side is that thank goodness for jail and prison, but the black man is in much better shape overall in general than the white man is right now. White men are trying to come back. Younger millennials are trying to, you know, ride their bicycles and skateboard and hang glide and all that other stuff, whereas because they know that they can't keep up physically, and soon they'll realize they can't keep up mentally with minorities and their activities. So they've got to develop these new games and then these new contests so that they can have their superiority still. Whereas everybody in the know knows that, you know, you got a chosen few who are going to be playing football and basketball and baseball, but, you know, and when I say baseball, I'm talking about the Dominicans. They're black too, and the Cubans and everybody else. You know, look at a baseball team. It's almost like you know, the European teams, where they have to mandate a certain number of natural citizens, and the other part of the team can be a mismatch of anyone. But just look around and see that the white woman is going where the love is, and that's the bottom line. But the other part that you didn't that I was going to mention was the 150 times that you were stopped. I'm assuming that 149 of them were by white cops. So you see the balancing act or the fence that you have to balance on, because they're going to attack you too, because you, again, do not emit being a threat, and you also do not have your mark.
I've ever recalled getting pulled over by a black cop or interrogated. Now, there's probably not as many around, but they've all been white. I'm wondering, am I able to marry into the superior race? Like, if I hooked up with a sister, could I get in on the sweepstakes?
Yes.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. You would be the talk of the town. Everybody would love you, and everybody would have this perception that you are Superman like they are. Because, of course, you know, 98% of black men are Superman in the bed. But, you know, we're talking
well,
about...
Well, the question is Lauren superior to me?
Yes. Lauren has what they call the pineal glands. You've got the melanin, the color. The color is what keeps a lot of the sunlight, for instance, from causing skin cancers, and the stronger dominant genes when there's a baby involved, that the baby is going to be dark or darker than it was. The pineal gland controls all your body functions and gives you additional hormonal strength. So we're talking about the fact that when black people die or when babies are born who are pretty much dead, they will harvest a black person, baby, much, much faster. As a matter of fact, that's why they don't mind, doctors and researchers don't mind the upswing in black population, because that means more black dead people to take their pineal glands and put them in the rich white people so that they can...
So if you're having more black males are getting white girlfriends, so it's taking... that would leave more black women available who would meet white guys maybe. And then,
right.
So basically all the babies would either be black male, white woman, or they'd be white male, black women. Either way, it's getting into the bloodline, right? So, I mean, either way, we're all going black. Is that right?
Right. And that's where we should be.
By the way, I was just skimming through my blog. The only person who is not superior in the black race is Clarence Thomas, who self-described himself as Long Dong Silver.
There you go. So we're talking...
Okay,
I want to go back to something
we were talking about earlier. You know that Native American shooting? That was a very unusual shooting because out of the 10 people who were killed... There was only one white beloved teacher that all the kids liked on the campus because she gave them treats and presents, and she didn't have a seating order for them. She let them sit where they want. But what I'm saying is that there is some violence of Native Americans against Native Americans, like just in regular things like street fights and burglaries. But for the most part, most natives don't attack their own members of their tribe. So I was reading through the funeral notes and stuff like that while you guys were talking.
Well,
so,
it's the cockroach syndrome. When you have a certain confined area and you've got 100 million cockroaches, they're going to step all over each other and fight and try to eat the ones who are weaker and... try to, you know, be superior in the pecking chain. And that's what happens in
Minnesota. Well, if you look at the Red Lake City in Minnesota, it's 1,800 people, and they occupy out of the five biggest lakes in Minnesota. Obviously, I live near the biggest one. But Red Lake and Upper Red Lake are humongous lakes, and they have total sovereignty over those lakes. And it's actually a very spacious area. It's not a small, confined reservation.
What's that got to do with what I was talking about?
Well, I think you were trying to say that people are like, squished in. And that's
right.
Not the situation in this case.
Who cares? The I mean, obviously, the
well,
white man...
Well, what were you trying to say with the cockroach
obviously
syndrome?
Obviously, the white man doesn't care because he's trying to build pipelines over sacred Indian burial grounds. He's pretty much...
I know, but what were you meaning by the cockroach syndrome? You mean where people are hemmed in, right?
Yeah, that's the inner city syndrome, where the police can be concentrated because there aren't the people who are in them are racially kept in them, put in the ghetto, ghettoized, where they are not able to get jobs outside of the ghetto, quote unquote. They're not able to buy property outside the ghetto, no matter how much money they have or make. They're not able to find any social groups that are outside of the ghetto that they are like-minded in.
Well, in this case, maybe your demographics are different, but the reservations in northern Minnesota are huge.
He's talking about
one of the best. In fact, all right, who cares about what you're saying too? I have a comment. Speaking of cockroaches, I have a question. Why do so many black men abandon white women after they have their babies?
Oh, God, that's another easy and softball question. We're talking about the fact that there was never a respect. There was only the concern or the ambition to conquer. Once the black man has conquered a particular white woman, she's disposable. You know, and her white man will, you know, they'll take them back in as scourge, but they'll take them back in. So the white woman.
Well, I do know a few blacks and whites up here who have married, and they've been in long-term marriages. But I notice there's a tremendous amount of white women with black kids where the man's not around. So
right.
I'm not trying to criticize black men. I'm sure Mexicans and white men do it too.
Women. Oh,
but
come on.
It seems like
an
epidemic in some cases.
Look at the women. Just ask Donald Trump. They're fat, ugly pieces of crap. That's why they get left.
Well, I hope you're not
Trump,
describing
Donald
me.
Trump will tell you. Donald
cockroach
Trump
syndrome.
Describing, Donald Trump is describing them. Donald Trump.
Well,
is
we're
telling,
not talking about Donald
like
Trump.
Okay, well, I'm talking about the way that women are treated. I've been
so if you impregnate a pretty white woman, you're gonna stick around. But if you impregnate a not so attractive white woman, you're gonna abandon ship.
Right. Ding, ding, ding. You get $64,000.
John,
do you think
John is a chauvinist pig like Donald Trump?
I want John to hook me up with a sister.
No,
that's
you don't.
Thing in the world.
You're not
that's
slick.
That's the easiest thing in the world to do. God.
You're not slick, and you could have had Marguerite, and you kicked her to the curb.
That was then. This is now. You know,
this is now. He's enlightened me.
Now he's just
right,
experimenting. He doesn't care, really, if he has any woman at all. He'd rather be on a celibacy mound.
Well, that's the thing.
I need a woman focused
on God and not like, well, I have to take a 10-year detour with like, you know, discovering herself or if she's happy or, you know, like she has a kid and now she wants to take the kid and have a custody fight. You know, it's like, I've lived enough life where I know what I enjoy. I enjoy doing music. I enjoy talking to people about God. And if I have to babysit someone or fight with them, you know, mud wrestle with them spiritually, it's just
I don't have enough time left to do that. You know, it's like when you see those.
I think you're talking about people who are trying to self-evolve, like finding themselves.
It's like when you watch these mixed martial arts events, you'll see them fighting. They have these, like, I think it's 4 or 5 minute rounds. They have like 3 of them. And you'll see in the fight, maybe they didn't win the first round. Maybe the second round was a toss-up. They get to the third round where they have to win, and then they get halfway in the match, and they get knocked down, and the guy's wrestling them, right? And you realize he's never going to get up. There's not enough time for him to win. They're just going to spend the rest of the time on the mat just, you know, kind of grinding it out. And it's kind of like that. I'm at that point in my life. I'm in the third round. I need to get some shots in and just get going, and to figure out with someone after 2 or 3 years, wow, we're not compatible or your goals are different. Just don't have the time for that, unfortunately. Even if I'm right or wrong.
Don, I agree. I'll comment on that in a second. Don, I just had a knock on the door, and the white women posse is out to get you.
Tell them that I'm right here, 2935, and then they'll be able to come in. I'll be.
Did you hear the sound effect?
And that's exactly how they're going to feel.
They have
Star Wars guns,
and they're going to.
That's exactly how they're going to feel.
They're going to de-antennize your laser Jedi beam.
No. If it hasn't been,
I'm using Lauren Hoffman's laser Star Wars gun.
If it hasn't been de-antennized by now, believe me, it ain't gonna be de-antennized until I'm dead.
Jesus.
It's not even after the 60 minute hour, and the
show's going downhill. John, I understand your point of view, but I think
you refuse to listen to what a word I'm saying tonight.
That was because I was smart enough to ditch your ass. Okay,
yeah, right.
I wanted to comment on something John said.
Dumbest
John,
damn
I
thing
think
you ever did in your life.
I think what you were talking about, John, is the only reason people would marry at our age is if they've been lifetime companions or they're very comfortable with each other. If one or the other of them thinks they have to change, then they're not going to, they need
financial support.
That's another good point. You might know someone for a while and you think, man, we got this great thing going on, right? I have several friends like that. But then you start thinking, oh, yeah, okay, then we exchange vows, we get married. It's like, I'm a serious guy. I'm not backing out. I will ride this to the last, you know, drop. And then you find out 6 months later, oh, they got cancer or they have some kind of health issue. And you can't just say, you know what, I was in here only for the good times, but, you know, now I got to change your diapers and wheel you to, you know, chemotherapy for 6 months. That's some heavy stuff, you know. When you're 20 or 30, you say, yeah, I can go the distance. But when you get to 57, you start getting the 60s, it's like, you know what? I'm kind of looking for the quick, easy, you know. Just logistically.
Well, I'll make a deal with you, John. I'll take a life insurance policy out on you for $50,000, and you can take one out on me. Then we'll make up a fake marriage document and we'll collect when either one of us dies.
Wow. Now you're talking.
See, that's what I was saying, though, earlier, that you only gave two options. There's that third one that most older people are doing is the financial reason. That's why they get married. You don't get married for sex or love anymore. You get married because it's going to be financially feasible and easier to live.
Yeah, that guy that I was kind of seeing for 2 years, you know, he's 48. He had 4 DUIs in his lifetime, and I realized today the reason I didn't stay with him, even if it wasn't a viable choice, It's because I felt like being with him was going down one peg. He doesn't have a car.
Right.
He has plenty of money, but I'm not going to go down the totem pole to be with somebody. They have to have something to offer at the table. So I think with marriage, as opposed to other social issues, you have to be somewhat selfish.
Was he white?
Yes.
Okay, then there you go.
He was white, he was smart, he was funny, but he didn't have a fucking car.
Down one peg. He was probably down three pegs or four pegs. He was probably below gorilla.
No, he had a good job, too, but he didn't want to pay all the fines.
How do you have a good job without a car?
Because he has four DUIs, and he didn't want to pay the state of Minnesota back for all the back due fines.
Why not? If he's got a good job, he's going to pay that. He does not sound like a dreamboat.
He also made a lot of stupid sex jokes. Now, I'll compare him to John Yoder. John Yoder has a car that doesn't run that well, but he has a lot of other assets, like he's a believer in Christ. He has good moral values, and he's a hard worker. Now, you can trade some of the assets for a deficit. So whether John's car ran or not, I wouldn't take that into consideration.
No, John's life, I wouldn't take his life into consideration much longer if he keeps riding at 2 o'clock down Van Ness.
What was that? I missed it.
I guess you missed everything I said tonight.
No, you said something about 2 o'clock down on Van Ness.
Right. That's exactly what I said. So now what are you going to say? What's your next point?
Well, I think looks are important, too. Like, John, your roommate has 5 cars and, like, 2 motorcycles. Right?
He won't lend you one car.
John's roommate has so many cars and motorcycles that he has to buy parking spaces in their condo. But I would still pick John because he's cuter than Slick.
Wow.
I better shut up, though, because I might make a few enemies on this phone call. So, John, why don't you tell
me? What the hell? What kind of enemies?
Don, why don't
you
tell us what your vision of an ideal woman is? Hello? If Pat didn't exist, would you marry a woman who had 20 grandchildren? Or would you marry a woman who's kind of like off doing her own thing, hip artist?
Yes. Each individual has their, just like you just said, has their strengths and weaknesses. And my ideal woman would have brains, a sense of humor, a modicum of beauty beauty in the face is not necessarily what I'm concerned with, even though a beautiful smile and that doesn't hurt a thing. But for the most part, intelligence, sense of humor, really, that's what one of the things I lack in my life. and a body like a brick shit house, okay? So those are the things that...
John? The face is not that important, but the body is. S-H-A-L-L-O-W.
Well, face goes, you know, it's like I'm not going to be feeling someone's face, but the body, and that's what transports them. That's what it gets them to do stuff, and that's what you're going to be, you know, touching and feeling. So I think in that whole package of stuff, I mean, if your body's in good shape, that's great. You can have a great face and be in terrible shape physically.
Exactly.
You know, girls, they go to the
salon, they get their hair done, they get their nails, they get all their makeup, they don't work out. And in 20 years, you've got this just big, roly-poly, out-of-shape person that has no energy to do stuff. They don't want to go dancing. They don't want to play sports. They don't want to, you know, be active and go to the gym. So I would, and it doesn't matter if you're talking spiritual or not. You could be a Christian and a believer and still be with someone that you're totally incompatible with, that doesn't enjoy your company, that doesn't enjoy doing stuff with you. In your relationship, really does suffer if all you have in common is you read the Bible and you pray. That's great, but you know, life is also a whole bunch of things. You know, it's how you socially interact, it's how you conversations, it's the things you do. You know, I do music, so this person needs to be into music and into singing or into the show or the performance.
No,
they don't. Or they need to be able
to watch. I think it's important that if you have a main passion in life, like mine is learning and politics and Christianity, like somebody has to meet at least two of those criteria. But I also realized in the last couple of weeks I'm rather boring. I mean,
yes,
I'm not a boring person, but my interests are boring.
Nope, you're a boring person too. But your boring interests are
Don.
You're boring. You're, honey, we're trying to be transparent here. You're boring. I'm giving you a compliment. Your boring interests far out exceed your boring personality, okay? So there you go. I gave you a compliment. I love you.
Can we go back
fine.
To homegrown terrorism?
We already did. I already said mine. It's like, okay, the white people are the terrorists. They taught the terrorists how to be terrorists. So I guess that makes them the teachers, the gods of terrorism, white people.
Well, we've been on the air an hour and 12 minutes, and I'm going to do my conclusion and then play one of John's songs. My conclusion is this, that people are they're reaching for life jackets, and like those round little things that float around the pool. I can't think of the word right now. Yeah, they're looking for things to hang on to. If you're looking for national leaders such as Trump, who filed $916 million in corporate losses in 2005, or Hillary even. Yeah. It was a proven fact. It was in the New York Times. Or Hillary, who has a legion of problems of her own.
Those were just preliminary figures. Those were preliminary figures. They weren't necessarily his personal income, per se.
Well, it was in 2005.
It was his business losses. I think it was just his business losses. It didn't necessarily include any personal losses or gains. That $974 or whatever $1,000, $1 million is that was just the gross of all of his all of his business losses. That didn't include his personal income or anything like that. That's what he based his income taxes on.
Okay, well, I was trying to make a point. I wasn't trying to be specific. Whether you're clinging to leaders, and hopefully your pastor's more influential in your life than people in the news media. But the fact of the matter is that you have to be grounded well in yourself to survive the modern age. Because at any moment, if someone's picking at you at business or at a school setting, then... then you would be in trouble because we're in an age of people with reckless emotions and personal problems, and there's really not a lot of things to steady our oars on. And with that, I'm going to read this Facebook entry by Ron Ogden. Honorable countrymen and women, we are at war with ignorance. The ignorant Trump supporters are formed to elect him president. We cannot let them. We must redouble our efforts to defeat them. We must live free, free of this scourge that has invaded our land. Before the election is over, I want Donald J. Trump to step up to Hillary Clinton. Okay, I can't say the rest because it's too provocative.
How can a statement be provocative?
Okay, he said when the election is over, or before the election is over, I want DJ Trump to step up to Hillary Clinton and bend over and kiss his fat ass on television with 300 million Americans and one Miss Universe watching. Oh, yes, and Vladimir Putin.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. I was just trying to say that this person is directing all his energy to what Donald Trump does or doesn't do.
That's typical.
Okay,
I
want
right
you
now,
guys to do your
right
conclusion.
Now. Go ahead, Don.
My conclusion is I love everybody. There's a few people I'm not greatly in love with that at times I've wished were abolished off of the planet, but after careful consideration, I think God still loves them all. So I pray that we all have compassion and that we'll see a better day, a day when all colors can get together and love each other. And that day is not today, but maybe when I wake up tomorrow. Till then, I'll just trust God to have it all under control.
Amen.
Yeah, that was pretty.
Does color have to be the determining factor, or can it just be people liking people?
I would like to see a whole race of green, purple, and magenta color. I like to see more color on the planet, actually. Or I like us to be colorblind for just a while, and not see any colors. Maybe be like Stevie Wonder. We'll all be blind, and we'll just listen to each other and hear what we're saying or how we act, and more so than what a person looks like. But again, that day isn't today. Although in 45 minutes it'll be a new day, so maybe after midnight we'll all turn into pumpkins and we'll look at life differently.
Well, I would have already turned into a pumpkin because it's 1:17 in Minnesota.
Okay. That's a pretty good
point. In 30 days, I'll be the great pumpkin.
Okay.
On October
31st. Is that your birthday or something?
No, it's Halloween.
Who cares? Coldest day out in the year.
You should have stayed in bed, Grandpa.
No. I'm glad I made this show because I was able to get a couple things off my chest that I had yet to say. But in terms of a conclusion, I pretty much said quite a bit tonight. And unfortunately or fortunately, meant every word of it. We're talking about the hate of a Donald Trump and a whole group of people who feel entitled, feel that they belong, feel that they are the boss of everyone. And us minorities say, you ain't the boss of me. And that's the conflict. John, there will be no peace because there will be no looking at anybody other than color until that day when everybody is of color. As long as we have the white man dictating what his principles are.
That's not true.
His laws, oh yes it is. When you get a group of people that tell you in no uncertain terms, and I've been, the ideal women, there are times where I had actually fallen in love. That doesn't happen very often. And with the lifestyle I was leading, I didn't have time to fall in love. But, is that ideal lady. There is an ideal situation. There is that ideal love that can come from people. But as long as people complain, as long as people use Jesus' name in vain, and as long as they have any deceit and contempt in their heart, they're worthless to me.
Why can't Jesus redeem people aside from color? It's not like all white people are going to disappear off the face of the earth. Now you're talking like the Islamic State.
No, I'm trying not to talk like the Islamic State, but a lot of the Islamic State principles are preferred principles. You don't want to gamble. You don't want to drink. You don't want to carouse. You don't want to commit adultery. You don't want
That's
to do
true.
Some of those things. Those are the Islamic principles. You know, and redemption doesn't come into this shit. There is no need for redemption if you haven't done the thing in the first place. Then
true.
You guys are just so whacked out that whatever you guys are talking about, whatever you're drinking, this drug.
We're religious
doing,
and we're not whacked out. John leads a very straight life.
Right, but that there is no need to wish for a relationship with any person. They're there. You can have a relationship with anything. You can have a relationship with a dog or a windmill. You know, it's just
okay, but you know
what?
I wasn't talking in terms of desire. I was talking in terms of fulfillment. I didn't say that I was looking for a husband. I was just talking about what life was like at my age.
Where did that come from? I wasn't thinking about
that.
That
it's an option. Because you're the one who was saying that I was looking for something. I started this conversation.
I thought John said that.
No. He was talking about what he would want in a partner if he had one. But obviously neither John or I are obviously actively looking.
Why not? That's the consummation of union. That is God's ultimate purpose. You guys are missing the whole point, and it's really, really sad because you do
call yourself.
Well, I guess
I have a lot of bills to pay, and I work two jobs, and I haven't had time to look.
You need that's what I'm saying. There is not a such thing as having time to look. It comes to you, but you have to be receptive. You have to be open. You have to have your aura available so that other people can see it, and that's what you guys don't have. It's really, really sad because the aura is closed. Things have to be on your terms. They have to be the way that you have, that it has to be, or else you throw it out and you kill it. And that's not
the answer.
Well,
it's still a choice. Not everybody wants to be with a partner.
Right, and it's against God's will.
John, could
you
come in and save me?
You're going against God's will because the union is the perfect match.
But the Bible says that if you choose to be single, then it gives prescriptions on how to live out that single life.
And you're still not supposed to create chaos and drama against the Ten Commandments or any other codes.
Well, who's creating chaos and drama?
When a single person goes around creating chaos and drama all the time, if they're not completely nun-like. I mean, we're talking about...
Well, I am a nun. I've been a nun for 3 years.
Right, and then I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about gambling. I'm talking about the treatment of some of your fellow men or women or the people at work. I'm talking about just in
well, considering
in
I have to work 18 hours tomorrow and I'm losing sleep over this radio show, I'm not going to take advice from you this time of night. All right, it's
Fine.
John's turn. I'm going
to
mute you. What's
and
your final comment? Oh, John already said it. Love people.
Oh.
All the rainbow colors.
Yes.
I'm cutting to the song. Good night.
Good night. Good night, John.
I want to say that Don is on the marriage watch list.
Yes. That's okay. We love Don.
I think he was a little disillusioned tonight, or a little disoriented.
Oh, no, I think he was on point to what he believes core-wise. He has certain views about color and race, and that's after,
how about,
you know,
being single? There's a couple verses in the Bible that say that, you know, you're allowed to stay single if that's what your choice is, or something along those lines.
That's true.
And you can serve more people being single than you can as a married person, because when you're married, you have more obligations.
He has a certain viewpoint on life, and I don't think that, I think that's been after several years of living. I don't think it's going to change for quite a while.
Okay, well, it did, the conversation did detour off to a lot of strange levels, but I want to dedicate this show to the Red Lake Tribal Band, who had to suffer that severe loss in 2005. Their community came together to support each other through that terrible ordeal, and I read a few articles about how even the Minneapolis All Nations Church helped celebrate people who were away from the tribe at the time during that crisis. So with that, I'm just going to end the show. We've had a long weekend on the radio, and I'm ready to head off to bed.
Yes.
All right, thanks for joining us. Have a good week. I hope you get some rest tonight, okay?
We will get some rest, and tomorrow will be a new day and an opportunity for all colors to come together in love.
And don't play the archive for Slick. Thank you. Okay.
Got it.
All right, have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too.